We turn to the Word of God this morning. We open up our scripture reading to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, we'll read verses 13 to 17, page 1499 in your pew Bible. We are now in the season of Lent. We remember the suffering of Jesus Christ. This morning's sermon is somewhat of a technical sermon, a theological sermon, because this morning we look at Christ's baptism. Now, what's all involved with that? In the past, we've looked at the Ten Commandments. Tonight, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, all practical kind of stuff. And so that's all good, too. But this morning, a bit more, we'll see how the Scripture works together as a whole, even as it in regards to baptism. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds, saying, "Thanks be to God." Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13, the baptism of Jesus. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' And Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, so let me begin by noting that we are in our passage, we are at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Here is where his official ministry begins. In Matthew chapter 1 and 2, we have the account of Jesus' birth, his flight into Egypt, his exodus from Egypt, and his life in Nazareth. It's in chapter 3 that Jesus' ministry officially begins. And it begins, interestingly, with his baptism. Why? Why? Why is Jesus baptized here? What does his baptism mean? What is this all about? And what has this to do with his passion? What has this to do with his suffering, which we commemorate in this season of Lent? And what does all of this have to do with our own baptism? The baptism we witness, the baptism we practice in the Church of Jesus Christ today. All of this we hope to answer and clarify this morning. And so we turn to our passage. In Matthew 3, verse 13, we read, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?'" Notice who comes to who here. Jesus comes to John. Jesus comes to John because Jesus needs to be baptized. John doesn't really want to do this. And you can see why. I mean, the people who came to John for baptism were all sinners who needed to repent. Jesus didn't commit any sin. He required no baptism at all from John's point of view. So why did Jesus need to be baptized so badly then? Jesus gives his reason in verse 15. There he says, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Interesting answer. What does Jesus mean by this? To fulfill all righteousness. Congregation, to understand what Jesus means by this, we need to go to the Old Testament first. We need to see the Old Testament background to baptism. You know, some people, they think that baptism is all just New Testament stuff. Well, they'd be wrong. New Testament baptism is completely grounded in the Old Testament. That's right. Old Testament law actually had provisions for various washings and sprinklings, baptisms, if you will. All of this was already in the Old Testament law. For that matter, John's baptism was an Old Testament baptism. You're going to say, no, no way. Well, yes, it was. That's because John the Baptist himself was an Old Testament prophet. Sure he was. He was the last Old Testament prophet. He had the privilege, the unique privilege, of preparing the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. And so his baptism was entirely an Old Testament baptism. My point, our baptism in the New Testament is rooted and it's grounded in the Old Testament. It was already practiced there in some sense. As a matter of fact, every time the people of God in the Old Testament went through the waters, guess what? They were baptized. When Israel went through the Red Sea, they were baptized. When Israel went through the Jordan River, they were baptized. Think even of Noah. When Noah entered the ark and went through the waters, he was baptized. That's how the New Testament understands these things. Absolutely. New Testament scripture calls such Old Testament washings baptisms. So baptism is very much rooted in the Old Testament. Notice what these Old Testament baptisms are all about. They're all about God saving his people. In each instance where baptism happened, in each instant God is at work taking his people out of a place of bondage and misery and sin, drawing them through the waters, cleansing them so that they might enter a whole new world ahead. This is the idea behind every Old Testament baptism. It's behind Noah's baptism. It's behind Israel's baptism in the Red Sea. It's behind Israel's baptism in the Jordan River. It's even behind the washings by John the Baptist. In John's baptism, people leave a world of sin. They enter the waters so that they may begin a whole new life. It's all very rich. And it's all in the Old Testament. Now, what's important for us to know in order to understand our text is this. All the baptisms of the Old Testament, all of them, they all point to Christ. Absolutely. Why? Because it's in Christ that all the baptisms of the Old Testament, they're fulfilled. They're filled up. Or if I may put it another way, it's in Jesus Christ that we find the baptism of all baptisms. All baptisms basically culminate in His. And why is that? Because it's in Christ that God performs the greatest saving act of all. Sure, it's in Christ that our sin is paid for. It's in Christ that Satan's tyranny is completely destroyed. It's drowned in the waters. We are drawn out of the kingdom of darkness. We are washed in Christ, and we are given a whole new life, all for the praise of His name. Hallelujah. Amen. This Jesus accomplishes for us. It's quite a baptism. Now, John didn't understand this, at least not yet, but Jesus did. That's why he said, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Absolutely. It would be through Christ's saving work that sin would be paid for. Sin would be gone for good. God's kingdom would be all in all. And so righteousness would be finally fulfilled forever. Now, just to clarify, baptism itself is not what accomplishes this. No, baptism is just a picture. But it's an important picture. For it's a picture that points directly to what fulfills all righteousness. And what is that? What is it that fulfills all righteousness? It's Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Here is where God's righteousness is perfectly fulfilled. Here, in Christ's death and his resurrection, here is where sin is paid for. Here we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Here we are raised to a whole new life in Christ. Congregation, we need to see then how the whole Bible now kind of works and kind of functions together as a whole. You know, in the Old Testament, we had all of these baptisms. There's all kinds of them, right? We had Noah's baptism, the baptism of the Red Sea, the baptism of the Jordan River. We can go on and on. All of these baptisms, they culminate in Christ's baptism. And Christ washing, Christ's baptism, it culminates in the greatest baptism of all, if you want to call it that, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. Everything in the Bible finally comes to that. This is where all of Scripture is moving. Here is where everything finally comes together. It's Jesus' death on the cross. It's Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Here, Christ does it all to fulfill all righteousness. Sin is gone, hallelujah. People are saved, praise his name. God's kingdom is all in all, hallelujah, amen. So you understand that for Jesus, all of this is together. All of this, right from the beginning, from Noah, right up to Christ's death on the cross, all of this is one string. And for Jesus not to be baptized now is to somehow break the string. It's to destroy the consistent picture that Scripture is creating. Do you see it? All is heading towards the climax. Christ must be baptized now in order to fulfill all righteousness then. Congregation, it's important to know that Jesus' baptism takes place then at the beginning of his ministry. It doesn't take place in the middle of his ministry or the end of his ministry or something. No, it happens at the very beginning of his ministry. At the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus knows what exactly his ministry is going to be all about. He knows exactly where this is going to end up. It's at the beginning of his ministry then that he commits himself to it. Right from the word go. John wants to say, no, Jesus, we don't want to do that. Jesus says, no, I've got to do it. I have to. This is where my entire ministry is going to go. This is what my ministry is all about. It's got to be about washing. It's going to be about washing away sins through my death and through my resurrection from the dead. And so in Jesus' baptism, what's going on? In Jesus' baptism, Jesus commits himself. He's part of the program. He commits himself to the road ahead. Jesus dedicates himself to this. This is why he has come. And all of Scripture is leading to this. And so this is what he will do. Come, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. John finally agrees to this. John consents, and so they both go down into the water, and Jesus is baptized. Not exactly sure how that was done. Was it like full immersion? Was it simple sprinkling? The text doesn't say, and in the end it doesn't matter. The message is really the same. In his baptism, Jesus commits himself to the greatest saving work of God. Neat then how death and resurrection act as bookends to Jesus' entire ministry. At the one end, it is pictured for us. Jesus goes down into the water and he rises again. At the other end, Jesus literally goes into death and he rises again. It's bookends. At his baptism, Jesus commits himself to this. And it's interesting what happens next. What happens As soon as Jesus goes down into the Jordan, as soon as Jesus is baptized, we have this glorious Trinitarian event. All three persons of the Trinity suddenly appear. Jesus, the Son of God, he walks out of the water. The Holy Spirit, he appears in the form of a dove. He descends on Jesus. The Holy Spirit anoints him. Not that Jesus didn't have the Spirit before, it's just that now he's equipped by the Holy Spirit to carry out his mission, his task, death, resurrection. And God the Father is here too. He speaks in line with Psalm 2. God declares a word of approval and encouragement to his Son, the King. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. It's a good day. Christ has accepted his task at the beginning of his ministry. His ministry is to fulfill all righteousness through his death and resurrection. He is anointed by the Holy Spirit himself, and he is encouraged by God, his heavenly Father. Now the battle is ready to begin. This is what Jesus' baptism is all about. And then a final word then about our baptism. You know, some people, they think that our passage is some kind of proof text for adult or believer's baptism only. Jesus was an adult, and we need to be adults too. If that's all we get out of our text, we're probably not looking deep enough. Let's be clear. Christ's baptism here in our text, Christ's baptism is not our baptism. This is his. No one can do his baptism. This one is his and his alone. But our baptism is connected. And so how is it connected? In this way, when we believe in Jesus Christ, yeah, what happens? Sure, we become united to Christ. We're united to him. That's what faith does. Faith, it unites us. It engrafts us into Jesus Christ. In our baptism, and our baptism is a picture of that unity. It's a picture of that union. Adult baptism, infant baptism, reminds us that we are united to Christ by faith. We are in union with him, and we are so covenantally connected to Christ that it can be said that when Christ went into death, we went along with him. And when Christ rose up from the dead, we went right along with him. We are that united. That's how we experience the death and resurrection. Romans 6, Paul says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were also baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God the Father, we too may live a new life with Christ. Baptism is all about union with Christ, so that when he died, we died. When he arose, we arose too. Everything in Scripture, everything in the Old Testament, and everything in the New is pointing to what Christ has done for us. Christ died. He arose for us. Which all points to our obligations. We have a mission now. We have a ministry now. And that is to put to death the old self, and it is to bring to life the new. That's what Christ's ministry was all about. Christ's ministry was about death and resurrection. He committed himself to that. And may we do exactly the same to fulfill all righteousness. Sin gone, raised to new life, to live for God today, tomorrow, forever. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that Scripture holds together, and we thank you, Father, for the baptisms of the Old Testament, which finally culminate in the baptism of Jesus Christ, which ultimately culminates in His death and in His resurrection. And we thank you, Father, that our baptism also connects into this, for by faith in Jesus Christ, we are united to Him, and so we're there right with Him. Jesus, who went into death and rose from the dead for us. And so we thank you, Father, for these blessings. And we pray, Father, that we may live it out. We pray, Father, for the person among us today who's still living, caught in a life of sin. We pray, Father, that they may be drawn out, that they may cling to Christ, and to know that in Christ our sins are gone and we are raised to a new life. So we pray, Father, that you will bless our hearts so that we may be committed to Him and that we may be committed to the task as well that you have given to us. Gracious God, we thank you for your love for us in Jesus Christ, that Jesus was willing and committed to go through that awesome task to fulfill all righteousness for us. Bless us to that end. May your name be praised. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.